Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. And joining me at Road America, it is Larry Janicek for a special edition of Three Questions with Larry. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Steve, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to do this on the road, overlooking Turn 14 at Road America.
We get to do this in person while we have cars on the track currently. And so what do you got for the first question today? And just so our audience knows, I have no idea what you're going to ask me. And I don't cheat. I'm not using the internet. I'm not, you know, so we'll see what we come up with here.
Okay, first question. Six Formula One championship-winning drivers have won at least one IndyCar Series race. Who are they?
Wait, drivers that won Formula One championships?
Yes, Formula One.
World champions?
Yes, world champions.
Okay, let's see if I can do this in chronological order. I think we can go with Emerson Fittipaldi, Mario, those are the easy ones, Nigel. That's three, so we got three more. Let's see here. One Jacques Villeneuve.
Yes.
And let's see, moving forward. Let's see here. Nelson Piquet is a no.
The last two won back to back here, Indy 500s.
See, I'm awful on the new stuff. It's just a Formula One world champion. One bit.
Both from the British Isles.
And joining us in the David Hobbs mobile studio, it is Guy Hobbs. Guy Hobbs, feel free to jump in here on this one.
Jim Clark or Graham
Hill. Oh, Jim Clark.
Those are the two right there.
Yeah. Okay, Jim Clark, of course, won at the 1963 Tony Bettenhausen 200 race, a very notable race. Not only was it its first win for Lotus and Jim Clark at Milwaukee in an IndyCar race, USAC IndyCar race, but it was also the first win for a rear engine car in national championship car racing.
Absolutely, and the interesting thing, of those six drivers, five of them won the Indianapolis 500. Mario,
yes.
Emerson Fittipaldi, Jacques Villeneuve, Jim Clark, and Graham Hill.
See, and what we like to do here is this isn't just like a Trivial Pursuit game. We like to give you a little anecdote with the answer. So with Emerson, it's always interesting. You know, it's kind of the opposite of with Nigel Mania that we had in the States here in 1993, in which Nigel was the reigning Formula One champion. He came over, drove for Newman Haas, and it was absolute chaos. And, you know, I know some of the younger media people were excited, you know, with Fernando Alonso coming and everything, but Nigel was much, much, much bigger. But with Emerson Fittipaldi, you know, Fittipaldi made a move and joined forces with his brother Wilson and that, how do you pronounce that guy? Cooper Sucar Racing? There you go. And, didn't have much success there, and then did some IMSA racing, kind of retired, went away, made his millions down in Brazil, and then came back and drove for a very second-rate IndyCar team at Phoenix and at Indy, then was picked up by Patrick, and really had a resurgence in his career after that in the mid-80s. So, kind of the opposite almost of Nigel.
Just to add up those six drivers, Mario had 52 IndyCar wins, Emerson 22, Nigel Mansell 5, Jacques Villeneuve 5, Jim Clark 2, and Graham Hill 1.
Yeah, Graham Hill, of course, won in his first Indianapolis 566, but actually drove one of Mickey Thompson's skates in 63, did not like it. Probably not the best car for a rookie driver, rookie to oval racing. It was kind of not a good situation for him, especially that car, which was in its first year of development. And so he did a smart, he spun at a pretty hairy spin in practice, said, you know what, I'm going to take a break from this. Came back 3 years later with the John Meekum team and Lola. And just, there was a big crash in the beginning, but, he ran strong there, and he ran a strong race, Granted, he wiped out third of the field, I should say, but, that was, he drove a very competent race for his first time out.
Okay, question number two, only two African Americans have raced in the Indy 500. Who are they, and do you know what years they raced?
Willie T. Ribbs, of course. Made the race in 91 as his first year with Walker Racing. And the other one that's kind of forgotten, sadly, is George Mack. And George Mack pretty much came from the go-kart background into the IRL when there was a lot more opportunities for especially open-wheel drivers in the late 90s, early 2000s, when you had both Champ Car and the IRL going at the same time. So you had probably, anywhere from 50 to 60 seats open or, teams with cars at that time. And George Mack, drove in a few IRL races. And I want to say, 2002 was it?
Yes.
And, made a good showing for himself. Unfortunately, ran out of money and just kind of disappeared. But has resurfaced recently and I believe has a book out, if I recall.
Oh, interesting.
So look for that. Go to Amazon or something. I believe he's got a book or somebody wrote a book about him. With him or something, so go check out George Mack, M-A-C-K.
Okay, question number three. In 1988, what foreign car manufacturer joined the Indy 500 field as an engine supplier?
88?
Yes.
You're talking about Porsche?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, for an extra chicken dinner, who was the driver and what was the chassis?
In 88?
Yes.
Well, it was initially with, Teo Fabi, I think is what you're looking for. But Al Unser actually drove the car and Al Horbert drove the car. Al Unser walked away from it. He said they actually had a Porsche chassis in 87, the year prior that they came in late in the year. Al Unser drove it, said this thing is awful, and walked away from the program. He didn't even think they would be able to develop it into a competitive car. Al Horbert drove the car, and he was the guy kind of behind it, spearheading it, and unfortunately was killed. Tragic plane crash months later, in which, my understanding, maybe Guy, you can back this up, he took off, and the door flew open on his plane, and he went to reach back to close the door. The cabin door and the car, he lost control of the plane.
And any chance of knowing what the chassis was?
Oh, it was a March.
Absolutely.
It was the only March chassis. March had some problems that year. The following year, in 89, it was the only chassis. March had some issues with the 87 chassis. 88, a lot of people were kind of afraid to go in that direction, and Lola kind of took over IndyCar racing for a while then.
in 1987, Goodyear did something for the first time for the Indy 500.
Yeah, the radial tire.
Exactly.
And there's they had a lot of problems with that. And a lot of cars were hitting the wall. And that was a situation where I was talking about March. March had some issues, and the radial tires in that March chassis at Indianapolis in 87 was not a good mix. A lot of people were having issues with it. In fact, teams like Penske went back to the 86 March because it just was the tire reacted better to that chassis. And they had a lot of crashes. A lot of guys got hurt, lower leg injuries, and that was March. They had a hard time recovering from that as a manufacturer.
Okay.
Very good. Larry.
Next time we do this, we'll go to Hale's Corners.
Yes, Hale's Corners Speedway. We'll have some fun there and get a dirt burger.
All right. Sounds good.
Larry Janasek, we're at Road America, IMSA weekend, and we'll talk with Guy Hobbs coming up here in just a moment. To the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, live from Road America, for IMSA Sports Car Weekend, it is Guy Hobbs. Guy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, and unbelievably, you're the one show that has me back.
So we got the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race tomorrow, and the Acura Team Penske Acura prototypes have been fast this weekend. And as we saw yesterday when we were up there, you know, Team Penske just, you know, even though the Acura is it's a program that's going away at the end of the season, Team Penske just is a top-notch organization, aren't they?
Hello. Sorry, Steve. I missed the very last part of that. Comment.
Just talk about Team Penske and how top notch they are, we were able to see up close yesterday. With how that team is run, they're certainly a first class in operation, and they're quick this weekend, aren't they?
Well, the whole Penske operation obviously is just beyond everybody else, and it always used to be in the IndyCar series, but the IndyCar other guys sort of caught up. But in the IMSA series, it seems to me that the other teams have not really caught up. And as we saw walking around the paddock yesterday, even the Penske trucks are shiny and bright and polished and looking all very nice. And yes, they've come here and they've pretty much been dominant. And it looks like they are going to be dominant throughout the weekend. You'll have to pardon the noise. At the moment, there's the Porsche Cup cars going around. Quite a good race going on. I'm in turn three at the moment. If you're coming to Road America, which I highly recommend, it is a beautiful day to be at a motor race. And I believe tomorrow is going to be the same.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it was beautiful weather up there yesterday. And I certainly wish I was up there again today. But tell us about with the GT cars too. You know, we're going to have Aaron Tielitz on here in just a moment with the Lexus cars. It's certainly a diverse field of GT cars out there this weekend, isn't there?
A big mix of cars and a big mix of not driver skill, but just drivers and driver style. And of course, each of those cars in the GT class require a different style of driving. So I think you're going to see a lot of, I won't say taking each other out, but certainly a lot of pushing and shoving, particularly when they come into like turn five and some of the heavier braking turns around this 14 turn track. So we're going to see some exciting races, let's put it that way. And we have a big field too, which is always good.
Yeah, walking around yesterday and today, what are some of the observations you've kind of noticed that somebody that maybe who hasn't been up there this week or maybe up there but camping, what's some of the things that you've seen up there this weekend so far that kind of
got your attention?
Well, one thing that has got my attention is the fact that they are racing again right away in 2 weeks. And I think everyone's being very careful, or trying to be careful, with equipment. And I, from what I understand from talking to some people last night, parts and part supplies and people driving parts and part supplies to various parts of the country with the COVID-19 has become an issue. It's not like they can just call up some guy in Atlanta and say, okay, drop off the gearbox. But apparently, you can't, crossing state borders these days is not very easy. And I would imagine even harder if you've got a truckload of parts and you've got a particularly unfriendly state policeman checking on everything. Right. So there's some concern about that. I think everybody's going to kind of take it easy as far as the racing is concerned here, to try and keep the car steady, strong, and safe for when they go racing again next weekend.
And, you know, you've been coming up to Road America for many years, and what are some of the memories with the IMSA series that you have?
Well, yeah, and you're right. I've been coming to Road America since 1970. And some of my fondest memories are the youngest memories I have of the Can-Am days. But we've certainly seen some great IMSA races. And of course, IMSA in its heyday in the early 80s, we had all the Porsche 962s, the 956s, the Goodwrench Corvette, and a lot of the teams were made up with two or three car teams in IMSA. And of course, you had Al Holbert and Derek Bell. And a lot of people came from Europe to race in the IMSA series because it was the series to be doing at that time. And I've seen some great battles here and some great races and some great equipment. And IMSA, as we all know, kind of went through a bit of a phase, and then when it got taken over, and they've rebuilt it, and they're getting it back to where it was some years ago. And I just obviously wish them all the best of luck with it, because it's, of all the racing series, it's probably my favorite series.
Yeah, of course, talking with Guy Hobbs live on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, and Team Penske's Acura were 1-2 yesterday in the 2020 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship up at Road America this weekend. And of course, Ricky Taylor posted the fastest lap in the one-hour session yesterday, and he'll be teaming up with Juan Pablo Montoya. Of course, IndyCar fans and kart fans have seen him racing for many years up at Road America. And then the second spot is Dane Cameron, who we've had on the show, along with Elio Castro and Neves. So it certainly should be interesting to see what the Acuras and the Cadillacs and the Mazdas have in DP1. And, you know, Mazda, of course, you know, winning last year, and the Acuras and the Cadillacs have been running very, very strong this year. Who's your pick tomorrow in the DP1s?
Well, I mean, it's hard to pick against Penske, isn't it, really? And the cars are so well prepared and look so beautiful. And because they got at least four of the best drivers in the field, what's going to make the whole day interesting, I think, is going to be the pit stops, obviously, and the calling when you make that pit stop. And from what I understand, weather is not going to be an issue, because often, you know, when it rains in these slightly longer races, 2.5, 2 hour races, that can affect your fuel consumption, obviously, and then how you pace it out so you've got the fuel so you don't need to make the stops. But you do still have to make the driver change. And either way, that as many times as you practice a driver change and do them, that's where most of the problems always end up happening, because you don't get the belts on properly, or a seat doesn't move properly, or and you know, the fuel goes in quickly, and obviously the four tires are on in seconds. So if whoever can limit it to the least amount of pit stops, which is the old rule of all racing, the least amount of time spent in the pits is the best there is, but of course that's where all the action is, and it's always great to watch.
It certainly is. And I guess
I will add to that, Steve, it is also one of the scariest places to be if you are on a pit crew. I did actually crew for a Porsche 962 team in Europe 1 year. I was the catch can, the fuel catch can man. And I got all the lessons on what to do, how to do it. And basically, the other guy put the fuel in, and I took any of the overflow. And so the first pit stop, I caught all the overflow. I was so happy the car pulled out. And I put the can down on the ground. I'm like, hey, how did I do? They said, well, you did great until you put the can down on the ground, and now we can't measure how much fuel we actually put in because it's all over the pit floor. So needless to say, my fuel pitting mechanicking period didn't last too long.
Good stuff. And I guess the question, the most important question we have to ask, with Guy Hobbs being up at Road America this weekend for the IMSA Sports Car Showcase, what have you had a brat today?
As a matter of fact, I hate to admit it, but I have a partner who is in line for the brats at this very moment.
So is that going to be brat number one?
I will let you know in about 15 minutes how the brats was. We did choose the smallest or the most secret brat stand. However, there's a long line for people waiting for brats. And of course, if you do come out and come up, make sure you bring a mask. Everyone that comes into the track, they are taking your temperature as you enter the track, and you must have a mask. You must show that you have a mask at least. They're not making everybody wear them. I'm just looking around me now. I don't see anyone wearing one. Except for I do see a very nice golf mask that someone left at the house by mistake yesterday. but yes, they are. If you are coming, make sure you have your mask. If you don't have one, they do have them at the gate. They will give you a mask, and they will give you hand sanitizer at the gate too.
Very good. All right. Well, Guy, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule today and giving us that live report from Road America. Looking forward to chatting with you again in the near future. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, we're going to talk with Aaron Tielitz, who's racing in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, driving for the AIM Vassar Sullivan Lexus team. So we'll be chatting with Aaron coming up next here on the Final Inspection Show.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give it the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi. Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi here with Aaron Tielitz, friend of the show. And, of course, we'd like to also thank the legendary Great Lakes Dragway along with David Hobbs Honda for their support. We're up at Road America this weekend for the IMSA weekend. And I had a friend of mine say that I've been saying IMSA. That's my Wisconsin accent all
IMSA.
This time. It's IMSA, not IMSA. My Milwaukee-ness is showing.
Yep.
So, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool watching you a couple weeks ago down at Sebring. You and your fellow driver, Jack Hawksworth, driving your Lexus to victory. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, the team, the AIM Vassar Sullivan team, has just been doing a phenomenal job here in 2020, getting our cars prepped after the long shutdown for Daytona and Sebring. I mean, those guys have just been killing it. You know, and it helps Jack and I when we've got, good equipment to drive. Everything's been holding together. And then Jack and I just have to do our job on the racetrack. Makes it easier.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Jimmy Vassar, too, being part of the team, co-owner and that. How is he working with, is he tutor you guys along at all? Or just is there a situation where he's kind of stepped up and helped you guys out? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy is the team owner and he helps out with strategy. He's the gel that keeps the team together. He's not going to butt in or you know, take charge of anything that he doesn't need to stick his head into. But if you've got questions, concerns, comments, you always bring it up to Jimmy. Jimmy's going to get the job done.
And working with Jack Hawksworth, we had Jack on a couple years ago when he was running with Foyt with the IndyCar series. A very, very astute driver from England. How's he working as a teammate?
He's great as a teammate. He comes from a similar background as me, coming up through the road to Indy. He knows that whole system there. And so then to plop me right into the Lexus with Ambassador Sullivan with Jack as my teammate, it just makes it really easy for me to get up to speed. To not make any silly rookie mistakes yet, fingers crossed, because Jack's been so helpful on helping me to avoid those pitfalls.
And how's the transition been, you know, with you, open wheel background, lighter cars, and, I mean, still a heavier car, but a full body sedan. How's that transition been for you?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird at first, you know, you can't see the tires. We've got ABS, we've got traction control, a lot more bells and whistles. In the car, it's also really hot in the race car. I think a lot of people might not know that, but we don't have air conditioning in GT cars, so it just gets stifling hot in there, which is different from open wheel as well. But you know what? Once you've done a few laps, it's just another race car, you know, honestly. And so as a race car driver, your job's to get the most out of it, so that's what we do.
How much, you know, especially, it seems like this year especially, it seems like heat has been more of a factor with drivers. How important, like, for somebody like you, you do a lot of mountain biking, you're in shape. How does that help you when you're doing a race?
Yeah, I mean, in sports car racing, it's not like we're being physically taxed a ton. We've got power steering, we've got ABS, we have all these assists that you'd think should make it easy to drive. But then when the cockpit gets up to 130 degrees, your body's still got to operate at a really high level when it's that hot. And so, yeah, doing a lot of kind of more endurance-style training, lots of running and biking where you're hot for an extended period of time and your heart rate is not really, really high, but just at a moderate rate, I think that's the best way to train for sports car racing.
Well, you know, NASCAR legend Bobby Allison used to drive around Hueytown, Alabama in the winter. He'd roll up the windows and turn the heat on full bore.
You got to.
And that's how he got used to it. So is it a situation where you just continually acclimating yourself to that weather that helps you?
Yes. I think that's a lot of it. And then just the more you drive in the car and you get used to the temperature, that's going to help you too. It was a bigger shock to me last year when it was my first time in the car.
Sure.
You know, I remember getting out of the car at 12 hours of Sebring last year and sticking my head in the whole ice cooler just to cool off. But now, you know, a little bit more used to it, a little bit more acclimated.
I thought it was funny. I think it was Townsend Bell that mentioned somebody was getting ice and that literally poured on them. He says, that's a good idea, but only if you have a hole in the seat because you can kind of cook yourself down under. Is that true? It gets that hot. The water, I've heard this where it feels good for a while, but that water actually turns warm. It's quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to take an ice bath while you're sitting in your seat.
Okay.
Because then the ice is just all going to melt, and then the water is going to be 130 degree water. And so you don't want that either.
Okay. And then how Indy Lights, open cockpit. Now, you know, with the Indy cars, they have the visor and everything around the cockpit. But when you were driving last year in Indy Lights and previously, I mean, how much of a difference? I mean, is it that much of a difference cooler? Because, I mean, the cars are built for the air to go over the cockpit, but it was that much cooler?
It's still that much cooler. You know, your face, your head is getting air. Air is coming in through your helmet. You know, you're still cooler, and the air is moving around you too, which is different when you're in a closed cockpit GT car. The air is not moving inside the cockpit. It's just stationary. You know, air is not flowing through the cockpit because that would be a aerodynamic drag if you had air.
I'm trying to remember. I saw that in car, but I don't remember it now. Do you guys have the air vent going into the helmet?
Yep. We have an air blower that blows into our helmet.
And that goes into a cooler?
Yep, it goes into a little cooler. So we do get cool air that blows into our helmet, which keeps at least your head cool.
Keep the head cool, and that helps.
That helps a lot.
And then if the head is cool, the body will follow, as they say.
Yep.
In wrestling and in
racing. Yeah.
So, well, Aaron, appreciate it. We're talking to Aaron Tielitz. You can see him this week at Road America driving for the Ambassador Sullivan Lexus. Good-looking car.
It's a great-looking car, and you're not going to be able to miss it. You're gonna see it no matter what.
There's two of them out there. There's number 12. We like that car, but we like the 14 car better.
That's right. We like the 14 car better. It'll have Rice Lake weighing systems logos on the door and as a bumper sticker.
Yeah, as we met, we saw each other last week up at downtown Elkhart Lake. I mentioned that it was beautiful. You could see it during the Sebring broadcast, Rice Lake. There it was. So we certainly appreciate their support and supporting your career. And it's good to see you back in the car, man. I really appreciate it.
It's good to be back in the car. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Aaron. That's Aaron Tielitz joining us on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. We'll be back after this in just a moment.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mayor Mitch Ross here, taking the reins from Steve momentarily. We will hopefully catch up with Steve here in a couple of minutes after we hear from Michael Shank, the team owner of MSR Racing. They are up at Road America this weekend for their the latest in the series in the IMSA races. And Steve caught up with him. Let's take a little bit of that interview right now here on the Final Inspection Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Steve Zottke with the Final Inspection at Road America. And we're here with team owner Michael Shank along with myself and Guy Hobbs. And Michael, this is certainly a different time, different situation up here at Road America this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different stuff here. Just having the public separated from us, which is never good. And, you know, in sports car racing, we always sold the idea that we have access to the sports car teams, and you know, you just don't have it this year. And hopefully it's just this year and we can all get back to normal life. And we're looking forward to go. I mean, we love coming here and love the folks that support us here. It's just stuck in this situation, unfortunately. It's like everybody else.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we look at, you know, with NASCAR, IndyCar, and now IMSA getting involved, getting back on track, and basically doing the best they can with this situation. So far, the results have been, I think, positive considering the situation.
There's actually good things that are coming out of it, and one of them is what I call the compaction or the compacting of the schedules. Yes. From a team point standpoint, and a team like mine that has an IndyCar team, a sports car team, you know, shrinking the weekends and making it more efficient cost-wise is tremendous. And I think we're learning a lesson here. Started with NASCAR first, and now IMSA, of course, IndyCar is doing it even, in my mind, even a better job at this point. You know, we take at least a day, almost 2 days out of the thing in the front and rear. And it's a huge gain for us, actually, financially and organizationally.
Talking about the IndyCar series, Jack Harvey, how do you rate Jack?
Well, that's a good question. We're doing, you know, what I've always said about Jack is Jack absolutely deserves to be where he's at and get this full opportunity, and he's doing well with it. We've had a lot of speed this year. We had a couple good results at Iowa, but you could easily argue that we would have five top fives right now. We were positioned to have five top fives, and through no fault of Jack or ours, it didn't work out that way. So, you know, we just keep hitting it. We got a technical alignment with Andretti's, which is proving to be very good for us right now. Going to Mid-Ohio, doing a double race at Mid-Ohio next weekend, which is my home track and place that Jack's traditionally been pretty strong, and the Andretti cars have traditionally been very good. So I think we have a lot to live for on that program, and Jack is doing a great job. I mean, he's literally getting stronger and stronger every time we roll off the trailer. So we had a tough start. We had, you know, 3 17th places because all this just different crap that happened to us. So still feel pretty good about. I feel really good. The guys are awesome over the wall. Our pit lane speed's as good as anybody that's been doing it for 20 years. So there's a lot of positives in that deal.
Steve Zottke, Guy Hobbs, talking with Michael Shank, the IMSA weekend here up at Road America. Guy, do you have one more for Michael?
I do not.
Just, Michael, final question. The health of the IndyCar series and IMSA series, what's your opinion on that?
Both of them are very strong. I think and for different reasons potentially, but I think the new era, I think we're starting to see a rotation of our world, and I just don't think it. Everyone sees it, of electric, right? So we're going to have hybrids coming both series very soon. I think IndyCar was on a specifically very good trajectory before COVID hit. On a positive note, IMSA is also, it's just a different kind. You know, I think we're going to, I think both look positive. I think both need to respond to the current times with not only the pandemic we had, but also where the car trends are going in the manufacturing world. And I think it's important that we get on electric stuff as soon as we can. Not full electric, but some kind of dual point hybrid system. And I think it's important that we do that to make it important for the OEMs. Both are in great shape. Both have a good following and nothing gets stronger. But I will say this. I think it's important that the sanctioning bodies work together, NASCAR, IMSA, IndyCar, and do these combined shows that give people reasons to come out for events. You know, Friday night could be IMSA, IndyCar Saturday, NASCAR Sunday, vice versa. I think it would give a lot more value to the people that come and watch us when we're eventually allowed to have full staff again. I think it's really important that we create new opportunities for people to come to races and excuses to come to races. And I think combining some of that could be a great thing.
We've been a big proponent on that show for a while that, you know, they, instead of viewing each other as adversaries, they need to team together for the overall health of motorsports. Final question, have you had a Brat this weekend?
Not, but I'm right there. I'm 50 feet from the Brat station, so I'll have a couple with sauerkraut, I hope.
All right, Michael Shank, appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend.
All right, you got it.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show and some breaking news on The Fan, of course, brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil, and Mitch, Mayor Mitch Ross joining me. And it's Brewers outfielder Lorenzo Cain opting out of the MLB season. And it certainly, I guess it's not a surprise that a player has opted out, but maybe certainly kind of a blow to the Brewers, isn't it?
It's just a blow to baseball, I think, in general. I mean, this thing has slowly unraveled this week, right? I mean, and here we are. I guess maybe the Brewers had avoided any trouble until yesterday morning. But now Lorenzo Cain, amid all this, you know, trouble, I guess, and scares with COVID and nothing that we know of is in the Brewers clubhouse. But he is kind of the biggest name since the game started to just say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this. And a lot of people are thinking, Steve, right now, Ryan Braun might be right behind him. Ryan Braun had some very interesting comments earlier in the week saying he was essentially very uncomfortable with, you know, doing a lot of the day-to-day that these baseball players have done. And a lot of them aren't doing a good enough job. And maybe that at the very least that will change at this point. I think with the Marlins, obviously, you know, Steve, I figured it would happen. It just stinks that it happened in, you know, baseball could be done after 1 week.
Yeah, it's certainly frustrating, you know, when you see, you know, you have a team like the Brewers who seem to be appear to be playing by the rules, and you have the Cardinals, if the reports are true that they were at a casino and not doing what they were supposed to be doing with the social distancing and whatnot, and certainly with all the positive tests and the rumors over on the Marlins organization too, it certainly shows maybe the how the NBA is doing it with their bubble, which received some criticism at first, but seems to be the right way to go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's tough for baseball and gosh, the NFL, you know, I mean, it's going to be, there's no way they can do a bubble. I think the thing the NFL has going for it is that they only play once a week. So guys are going all as one. They'll have a traveling party. I'm sure they'll probably go for what, you know, 3 days max to that city. And then they return back to their home city. But again, I mean, you know, when you're in a full bubble like the NBA is, you can control what these guys are doing for the most part, 24/7. So you can't do that really with these other sports. And we're seeing the downfalls of that at this point, and baseball's in real trouble.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Commissioner Rob Manfred does. If there's
I don't trust him.
Sanctions, yeah, if there's going to be sanctions for, you know, the Cardinals or the Marlins for them not, you know, going by the rules and putting the, not only the organization but the team or the game itself in jeopardy. And it's certainly frustrating from a fan point of view, seeing what's happening with the Cardinals and the Brewers this weekend.
Right. And that's going to do it for the Final Inspection Show, Steve.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate, of course, Josh Balicki coming on the show along with Guy Hobbs, Aaron Tielitz, Michael Shank, and, of course, Dennis Michelson and the Polish Pipe on Jeff Orlowski. We'll chat with you next week on the Final Inspection Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.